Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
I'm Brandon.
And this is
Only We Matter. What are some ways you think it would be helpful to fight consumerism this time of year?
You know, I think there are lots of things out there. You know, the one thing that comes to mind is there's lots of online shopping. And there's, you know, that's like, I feel like that's a rabbit hole of a conversation. But I also feel like you just go to one site and you buy what you want on that site. So
yeah.
If you're looking for one shirt, you go and you get that shirt, as opposed to going to the mall. So you're going to use gas. You're going to go to the mall. You're going to, like, use your time, but you're also going to buy a schwack load of things that you do not want. There isn't very many people. I know we always talk about men just go in, get it, and come out. But, you know, I actually know very few people that really do that.
Yeah.
And I think, too, you know, going out to eat is expensive. And,
exactly.
And some people just do it just, like, because. And and we actually don't. Like, when we go out to eat, it's a treat. I bet you, do we go out 4 times a month? I don't know that we do that. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But in those 4 times, I would say 2 are work and 2 are dates, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think those are, you know, I think going out to eat is a really easy one that you can come back on.
Yeah, that's the one we found the hardest living in the city, not because we're drawn to it, but because of, actually, I think I feel like I'm drawn to it less now eating out, but because the schedules of school and all that, and if we don't quite buy the right amount of groceries for the week, and then we're like, oh no, we have nothing for lunches today as we're gone out doing our days. And so that's where it becomes difficult for us, is still managing groceries and food, and I don't feel like we're very good at it. So we have to fault to, okay, well, I need to grab something on the way then to drop my girls off at school or whatever like that. So that's one of the difficulty things for us for eating out, that we need to still manage well. And
I think there has to be a balance, you know. I don't think it's a treat for many anymore.
Yeah.
And we still consider it a treat. We eat. In fact, my goal for the next few weeks is to just eat out of my freezer, what's in my freezer. And so we still have to buy, you know, the perishables, meaning eggs, milk, what dairy. So, you know, whatever that looks like. But, you know, it's like, no, like, let's eat whatever vegetables I've got in there, or let's eat whatever meat's in there, or there's got to be something in there that I can make for tonight. You know, it's just being creative. And I guess that kind of, you know, I guess that kind of goes to the budget, because I know Christmas is coming, and because we have guests for Christmas, we're going to have to spend more on food. And so I think, well, let's try and cut back now so that we can enjoy, and that'll be a treat, and we won't actually go, oh, like, I got to go and buy that again, like, and just enjoy it.
Yeah. And that takes discipline, right? That takes
learning
and discipline and thinking ahead and stuff like that. So I know last time we talked a bit about Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah. And, that was a great movie. Did you go see it?
No, I didn't yet. Okay. Still haven't. Oh. I can't wait. But anyway, I haven't been to any movies. So but when I was preparing for our message a week ago, and beginning our Advent series, and what pops up is a article someone had written. Surprise, surprise. I mean, there's lots of articles about Mr. Rogers right now, but the one was actually about consumerism. Yeah. And so it was perfect, because that's what I was, part of my message was on that day, on that Sunday. So it was perfect from the Washington Post. So I'm going to go to the, and just kind of read a tiny bit of the article if I can bring that up. So it's from the Washington Post. So, I'll just tell you the story. So it's, make sure D.L. Mayfield is the journalist here who did this article. So he's talking about how one year when Mr. Rogers was just getting into his prime, he was invited by Hallmark to design the storefront, the window of their store in Midtown Manhattan, so their flagship store. So this is a big deal for Hallmark to do and to get him to come do this. And of course, they were thinking, oh, you know, it'll be great for the kids. It's Hallmark. It's this warm, fuzzy thing. Well, he did something a little unexpected. He got a Norfolk Island pine tree, about the height of 3 or 4 foot tall child, put it in a glass case with no ornaments, no decorations, simple green tree, and just put it in their window. That was it. And then there was a plaque in front of it, and it said this, just like Mr. Rogers would say. He says, "I like you just the way you are."
Oh, so in the middle my goodness.
In the middle of all this glitz and glam, and yeah, everything that was decorated in Midtown Manhattan, here Mr. Rogers made a statement. And he really fought against consumerism, especially towards kids, and the shame that they feel when they don't get enough, as much as what the media tells them they should be getting. You know, why can't I get that toy? Why can't I have that? And why don't my decorations look like that? And Mr. Rogers really fought against that so hard that in the article, the journalist actually talked about how it was actually hard to work with Mr. Rogers because he was so firm on this belief and all his beliefs, and he wouldn't give. He wouldn't give. And, you know, he had opportunities to go to major networks and all this. And he's like, no, I don't want to be a part of advertising and that, for especially for kids in particular, and shaming kids through a lot of that. So that was his plea on that. And you know,
and did Hallmark keep it?
Yeah, they used it. They thought it was brilliant. So obviously it must have garnered lots of attention anyway. So
wow. So you know, this article I just pulled up on consumerism that came out today. It says, "And so begins the shopping frenzy, though there are alternatives." And he says, "The economic focus of Christmas is a clear indication that capitalism is our new religion, a trend that the buy nothing Christmas movement looks to reverse." So have you ever heard of that? The buy nothing Christmas movement?
I've heard of one similar to that, but not the buy nothing.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me. It was given an official launch in 2001 by a group of Winnipeg Mennonites. Buy Nothing Christmas is an attempt to not only buck consumerism, but to rediscover the true nature of Christmas, more Jesus, less Santa, as it were.
Wow, that's really, really neat.
And it says, going down in this article, "Fewer of us are attending church, leading to the demise of traditional churches. Far more of us will spend time at the mall than at church this holiday season."
Yeah. Advent. I think there's one called the either Advent Conspiracy or Christmas Conspiracy that I read in one of Shane Claiborne's books. But that's kind of the idea too. And whatever you don't spend, there's actually, it was more like donating, right? And more using it to actually feed people and do the stuff that that we're called to do, especially as believers. So,
well, I think it is hard to shake off the notions that we hold, even if our idea of a traditional Christmas is only a few generations old.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to 9/11 when that happened, you know, there was this influx and a surge of board games. Right. Getting back to the family, let's sit around the table, let's invest in family again, let's do this, you know. And this article says, "Beyond the religious aspect, there's a lighter, living lighter on the earth philosophy behind the cause of buy nothing."
Yeah.
A buy nothing Christmas. "One that looks at the vast amounts of waste, not to mention carbon, generated by manufacturing, shipping, and sales associated with our gift-giving extravaganza." So there's lots out there. But, you know, there's got to be a happy medium. And I wish I could talk to my parents because, you know, they just spent what they, within their means.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't have it, they didn't spend it.
Even our neighbors who are here, they were from India and now they recently moved. We talked to them a bit about Christmas because we did a little Christmas party with them before they left. But like decorations like we have that is not a thing. Like some people might put some decorations inside, they said, but no Christmas trees, like, and presents are like minimal, right? And they, I mean, they have many other festivals that they probably spend money on.
Right.
But like, that's so interesting to see, like, you know, the importance we put on Christmas as a culture, mm-hmm. North America as a spending, a consumeristic holiday, you know, others are like, let's make it simple, right? It's simple. And we overcomplicate it too. And what we have, you know, for us is like, it has meaning and we want it to have meaning, whether it be gifts or decorations. One of the things we do for gifts is we limit it to a few things. So something they need, something they want, something to read, and something to wear.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's a clothing, it's a book, and then usually a toy or something, and then something else they need. And so so that's kind of how we've been doing our Christmas gifts for our girls for the past several years, probably since Penelope was born, because we just knew we weren't going to have a huge budget for everything too, and plus we wanted to keep it simple and focus in and make sure the girls knew why we're celebrating this season, that we have hope in a dark world and in the darkest time of the year, right? Is Jesus.
Absolutely, yeah, the real spirit of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And it can't be bought at the mall. And, you know, I think if you think back at Christmases past, do you get more joy thinking about the things that you got or about the time spent with family and friends?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's for me, when I think back, I think of Christmas Eve, spending time, and then all like going to my grandparents, both grandparents' houses, and going to visit them. And there's maybe a few gifts that I remember, but like one of my favorite Christmas Eves was going to my dad's family. I don't even know, it was like somebody's house or it was a camp or something, but my dad's family is very musical and they just broke out the instruments, started singing. And that's what I remember, man. That's gold for me is though that type of a Christmas Eve. And so that's what I would push for. And that's what I love about different generations here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this place called King's Landing in New Brunswick, and we studied Christmas there, and it's the boat settlement of the British in New Brunswick and in Canada. But the simplicity of Christmas, even during settlement, they had nothing and they had great celebrations and focused in well. So I love learning from different generations when it comes to Christmas. I loved what we did in school as well. We, in elementary school, I remember our teacher took us to one of the manors nearby for Christmas stories.
Really?
Yeah. And so the seniors in the home told us kids Christmas from when they were a kid. And I remember that. I remember that very profoundly impacting me and my classmates, and how important that was to do that. Yeah.
Huh. I love that. I was just talking with somebody today just about our seniors. You know, and they have so much to offer, and yet we don't see that anymore. All we see is what's on the outside and what's current. We don't take the time to look back and go, oh, like they were these negotiators for some big company, or did you know that they helped solve and gain peace between these two warring tribal groups? Or did you know that they were pioneers?
Yeah.
Like, and they worked on the railroad, you know? It's like there's so many great things that we just miss from not taking time to be with people and to ask them those questions. And, you know, traditions and memories can make us miss our loved ones. When I'm thinking of the older generation, older than me, you know, I think about my parents and wishing I could ask them these questions now, you know?
Yeah.
And it does make us miss our loved ones, but it can also make us feel really connected to them if we take that time too.
Yeah.
You know, to just remember the good things that we did, or the fun we had in the kitchen with them, or, you know, my siblings would all come home because I was so much further behind them. They would all come home and take me, you know, tobogganing or tubing down Suicide Hill. And, you know, I think those are the things that people remember. I do remember a couple of my presents, but really, it's about people, because we're relational. We're meant for relationships, and we're meant to be connected with people. And that's the whole premise behind us. And that's why, you know, the real spirit of Christmas is people. And that's why, you know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is really about.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what generation you are. It's not like relationships are a new thing or an old thing. No. It's humanity.
It really is.
We're really made for a relationship. And Christmas is a good time to come back to that and to realize we can slow down right now and focus in on those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, thanks a lot, Brandon.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode.
That's been Only We Matter with Jacqueline and Brandon. Your Java juice must be almost done, and so are we.
And I have to go to the bathroom.
You've got to be kidding me. But on that note, you can find us on iTunes, Instagram, Facebook,
Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music.
Yeah, we are all over the place. So we look forward to hearing from you. And go out and have a great day.